Yeah! Film Vault! Welcome everybody to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today, the annual Top 5 Oscar Locks. Take us to the bank, Anderson. These are the locks you can count on, all coming true on the Oscars. Every year we go 5 for 5.
You know what I meant to do? I meant to look up last year's.
I was going to do that, but it involved actually doing research, so I said, fuck it.
It'd also be embarrassing for you.
It'd also be embarrassing. I'm a good year is going 4 for 5, and that is an exceptional year.
Leading up to this year's spirited locks, I was feeling very uneasy. It's a weird year. There's almost parody in the Motion Picture Association of America.
I was able to find, I think this is the first year I go 5 for 5. What? I think this is the first year I go 5 for 5.
I feel the exact opposite. Really? I feel like it's anyone's game with so many of these.
Some of these are up in the air. Some of them are up in the air.
You got any of your little cute prop bets over there?
I may have put some cash down, some prop bets. But you know what? The prop bets I put down actual money on gambling websites are long shots. I took long shots intentionally. You know what? I should have known the ones I had.
Funny is we've been doing this long enough that I can remember when like the actual odds weren't in our face. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like we were just kind of like stabbing at the
dark. Oh, yeah, complete. Kind of, yeah, I guess
now, like with all the stuff online and stuff, it's real easy to cheat. I hope you didn't do that.
Wait, what do you mean cheat?
Well, it's really easy to like go online and find, you know, actual existing odds in Vegas.
Well, my question is, how's that cheating? Well, I have two points. Number
one, before it was just like our own, you know, Anderson, thoughts and predictions. We weren't looking at the hordes and the masses.
That is true. But times have changed. Number one, and number two, it would be impossible. It would literally impossible for me not to know what the odds are because I look at them multiple times a week.
Why is that?
I feel like betting on the Oscars especially is something that if you have some sort of insight or if you've seen the movies or if you just have a hunch, it's much more than sports betting, which is kind of the sucker's game. Mm. If you bet on the Oscars and you genuinely have like an insight, you stand to do well. So
right.
I look for the advantage bets. I look for I'll give you a great example. When the odds were first announced, Richard Linklater was the prohibitive favorite to win Best Director, and Alejandro Iñárritu was a distant long shot, like plus 600. And I was like, Birdman is a really well-directed movie and probably will win Best Director. And lo and behold, he won the Directors Guild, he won the blah, 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 now he's the favorite. And I put money down when he was 6.5 to 1.
All right.
My point is, if you have an insight or a hunch, then it's worth the bet if you can find the right odds. My overall point is, my locks will, because we're talking about locks, will actually include odds.
What have you seen lately, bud?
Oh, we're going to do the Flick Fashions.
I think we should.
You promised a spirited round.
Yeah, we were texting back and forth today. I gotta admit, Brian, it makes me laugh when you send the your random little. Brian likes to just quote the movie Lock from earlier this year, which may get a appropriate treatment next week.
Are you teasing
the Vaulties? The Vaulties next week.
Top 5 films of the year, or in Anderson's case, top 25 to 35?
Top 10. Always got to do a top 10.
It's a minimum 10.
You can't see like 200 movies, right, and then going, here are my 5. No, you need at least 10. You need breathing room. Plus, it's great movies.
I'll be adhering to 5. Maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Anyways.
But you have a spirited round in you?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Will there be opining? Will there be waxing?
So, yeah, what I started to say is Brian will just send me, like, just the most random text in the middle of the day. It'll just say, like, it's a very big pour.
It's a very big pour.
She's distressed. I believe that we've covered this on this here program in the past. But
I'll send you ones that say, it's your britches.
It just said, it's a really big pour. It's a big pour. And that took me right back to Locke, which is a great place to be. I was sitting shotgun with Tom Hardy.
Staring at Tom Hardy.
Enjoying myself.
His glorious lips.
So let's talk the movies that we've seen.
What have you seen this week, Anderson? I can go first if you want me to.
Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
What's the best movie you saw last week?
Oh, I saw 3 good movies.
Let's start big.
Okay, I'll go big. I saw a movie that came out this week.
Oh.
Made a lot of money at the box office.
Mm.
Sexy movie.
No, you didn't.
I saw Kingsman, The Secret Service.
This is upsetting.
You upset that I saw Kingsman?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Did you see it? Want to flick fest this?
Fuck.
What?
I was hoping to have at least a week where I can enjoy this movie
without
associating it with you.
Why? I'm very confused.
Now I'm upset.
Why? Because I'm talking
last
about it?
Last year, at this time.
Because I'm talking
right
about
around it. This time last year, I saw a movie called The Lego Movie.
Yes.
And I came in here standing atop my chair, screaming and yelling about what a fantastic little movie this is, how much I loved it. Here it is, February. I don't see a scenario at the end of the year, I tell Brian, where a Lego movie is not on my top 10 Volties.
Right.
I'm saying that here about Kingsman.
Kingsman?
Holy shit.
It's so good.
Was I wrong or what? Holy
fuck,
this movie's awesome.
Are you on board with Kingsman?
On board. On board.
Are you driving the train? Choo-choo,
baby. Choo-choo. With Matthew Vaughn directing, I should have known. His track record is pretty good. This is only his fifth movie he's directed.
True.
And
former producer with Guy Ritchie. He's got a little Guy Ritchie to him.
It's got a Guy Ritchie taste. This movie, if you were on the fence like me, if you were vehemently opposed to it and hated the ad campaign, which...
Why'd you hate the ad campaign?
Definitely steers you in the wrong direction.
They make it look so...
Goddamn PG-13 and safe and just douchey.
Oh, no. This is much more
kick-ass. This is a hard... I can give you a little example. All right. In the ad campaign, which is... They're pushing pretty hard on you. This movie deserves like a lighter release. This is a much better movie than a February movie. Talking about Kingsman,
This
is a summer movie. This would have cleaned up summer, I think. But I think they're going to do a quick push, and unless word of mouth spreads, this thing's going to be gone in a few weeks.
Oh, word of mouth's going to spread.
I hope so.
My prediction, I went on Twitter and made the prediction that this movie, when all said and done, will earn more at the box office than 50 Shades of Grey. This movie's going to have word of mouth.
It's a bold prediction.
It's bold.
That is very bold. It's bold. You shouldn't have.
This movie's going to have legs.
Let me give you
People are going to like this movie.
Give you a little taste without giving anything away. But
bold.
In the trailer... All right, first, his goddamn hat. Why? Some of the worst costume design. The movie's great, but the costume design is awful.
He was like his thuggish ways?
His PG-13 hat. That hat should have just said PG-13 on it.
His hair.
No one wears a hat like that. His hair is like
maybe
coming out.
It's
like an 80s thing, and it's awful. Like, as soon as he goes back to his thuggish ways, he puts on this horrible outfit that makes him look like he's in a Disney TV show.
He looks like he's in an NSYNC music video.
Yes. From the mid-90s. Terrible. So,
true.
That aside, there is this...
The kid we're talking about is Aaron Edgerton.
Yes.
Who, by the way, did not know. Sort of an unknown, at least here. He's only been in a few things over there in England. Fantastic. He's a movie star. He jumped off the screen. He carried the... I wouldn't say carried, but the movie relies on him because he's in 90% of the scenes. And if he's no good, movie sinks. And if he's great, movie swims. And he's fucking great.
He is awful in the trailer. They somehow made him out to be such a douchey character in the trailer. Mm. Everything that I hate in white men, he exhibits in the trailer. Now, here was what I was saying. In the trailer, there's a scene, there's a part where he's talking to some blonde chick, some bitch who's locked up, and he says something along the lines like, can I get a kiss if I go save the world? And she says yes, and he says, I'll be right back. And it just looks awful.
Right.
It's just cringeworthy.
And in the movie, let's not give too much away, but there's a great moment where I think they're playing on the ad campaign because they know that you've seen that scene in the ads, and now they're going
to... She says something to him that would never make a trailer, would barely make a Red Band trailer.
Yep.
I was out of left field, slapped me across the face in the best possible way.
Yep.
This movie is right up there with Kick-Ass, also a Matthew Vaughn film, as far as just over-the-top
in your face. Body.
But not like just crass for the sake of crass.
It celebrates it. It revels in it. It splashes around in a pool of blood. I mean, figuratively and literally sometimes. It owns what it is.
He reminds me a little of Jack O'Connell, who was in Startup earlier this year, and he's also in Unbroken. Starred in Unbroken.
Did not see either.
Very
of those.
Similar character. They're both Brits, but let's wax a little bit more about this. Let's not give away anything.
No, I'm not giving away anything. But I will say one of the favorite things, my favorite things about this movie was how all the big stars from Colin Firth, Samuel L. Jackson, even Mark Strong. Played against type. They're all cast against type. Samuel L. Jackson is this nerd who is a megalomaniac, billionaire genius who is detests violence. He's physically ill by
so great that he hates it.
And he has
such
a
great twist.
And then Mark Strong is even kind of a Q type nerd from the Bond movies, and Colin Firth, who I barely tolerate in films before this.
He was fantastic.
He's great. He's an ass kicker.
He was perfect.
He is perfect.
He trains for 6 months. You hear that all the time, but I can't imagine Colin Firth training to be a badass for 6 months. But he did. He pulled it off.
He pulled it off. And credit to the casting team, casting director, the director, because to cast all these actors so harshly against their type and to pull it off with all of them to hit home runs, that's a hell of a job.
Samuel L. Jackson doing the lisp, that kind of bugged me. I found out later that he actually had a lisp as a child, and he brought it back for this role.
Interesting.
Didn't even let Matthew Vaughn know until after the first take.
You know who's another black man?
Vaughn, did you hear me what I just said?
What?
He had no idea. Matthew Vaughn had no idea that he was going to play it that way until they were on set shooting, and he did the first take with the lisp.
Oh, by the way, this is going to be the whole movie.
And he pulled him aside. He's like, what's this all about, Samuel? Why are you doing this? But I don't like Samuel Jackson in a lot of roles because he's playing himself. He is fantastic in this movie.
I made the exact same point earlier when I talked about this on the Kroll Show, which is Samuel L. Jackson, you know what you're going to get. He's going to be Samuel L. Jackson or some version of him in every movie. And it sounds crazy, but quote unquote, he acted in this movie. He acted his ass off. He was a great character. He stretched a little bit outside of what you expect from Samuel L. Jackson, and he was great. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah, I loved him. Mm. Now, this movie, the first 30 minutes, I was still arms crossed, going, go ahead.
Impress me. Do something.
And it won me over big time. I wished it was longer. Now, let me tell you, the dog was fun.
So much head trauma.
So much stuff going on.
So much head trauma in this movie.
A lot of head trauma, but it's played for laughs. This movie is super self-aware.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As it needed to be, as it had to be for it to work, and it did.
They wink at the audience a lot.
Nonstop, but it's good. I appreciate it. I loved it. Matthew Vaughn, huge fan of the spy thriller, huge fan of all the James Bond movies.
Sure.
And that's kind of what it was, like an homage, an ode to the James Bond movies. I can safely say that it is the greatest scene I've ever seen take place in a church.
In the church.
One of the greatest scenes you're going to see all year.
It is great.
All one take, too. No cheats.
Yeah, I noticed that. There were a few long takes, but that was the best.
Shit.
So good.
What a great. And, you
My
know,
God,
I get,
it was so good.
I get accused of overselling movies. It's because I have a lot of passion, and I love them. And when one really tickles my fancy, such as this one, I get excited. And some people are going to go see this and go, what the fuck's the big deal? You're missing something.
Yes.
It's on you. Go see this movie. Word of mouth it.
This is a crowd-pleasing movie. The crowd I saw it with walking, you can kind of tell what people are saying and thinking as you walk out of the theater, especially if it's a crowded theater. People, you hear them in the little walkway outside the theater.
It's the worst. So what did you think? Did you like it? I don't know. Did you like it?
You're right. That part does suck. But I could sort of tell. I could take a little temperature of the room, and people were very much enjoyed the movie.
Were you like, how should I feel about this?
Yeah, I was like, well, what do you guys think? I mean,
hey, Logan.
Christy loved it.
Logan.
Yeah.
You see this one?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to.
You son of a bitch. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get caught up in my Oscar movies before
Baba
I go.
Duke.
That goddamn GD PG-13 hat.
What?
Almost ruined the movie.
The hat.
The hat is so awful. Like, who wears their hat like that? Where, like, their hair's sticking out in front? Like,
maybe
that's
a thing in England.
It's like a mid-80s
thing. You don't
know
English culture.
Well, it needs to change. That's what it is.
if that's your culture, Brits.
All right, I'm done.
You done waxing?
I'm done. I loved it.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
The best movie I've seen all year. And the best church scene I've seen.
Possibly
that
ever.
Doesn't have
Ooh,
Harvey
Logan,
Keitel's.
Top five church scenes. Write it down.
That doesn't have Harvey Keitel's dick flopping about.
Mm.
You don't know what that means.
I know.
Bad Lieutenant.
Oh.
In a church.
Did not see his dick in a church.
Dick flopping about.
Mm.
Yeah.
We should top five church scenes.
I need to see this fucking movie again.
See top five church scenes instead of the Vaulties.
I need to just bask in the glory that is that church scene. I need to just sit back and anticipate it, wait for it, watch it. Oh, yeah.
So good. Now, here's my question. Do I go back and see Whiplash again in the theaters, or do I see this if I had to choose one or the other this week?
Can't do that, dude.
What?
Apples, oranges.
You're right. God damn it.
Whiplash.
Probably right.
Yeah, this one you can watch on video. Whiplash in the theater. More emotional. All right.
I saw another film. This one is, I saw an Oscar-nominated film. Still Alice.
Oh!
Still Alice. Alice is still Alice.
Yep.
Written
not
by
really.
Richard Glatzer. No, I guess not.
It would have been a very different movie if it was called Forgettable Alice. Forgetful Alice. Alzheimer's Alice.
Richard Glatzer and Wash Westmoreland. They are a married couple. Julianne Moore is Alice. Alec Baldwin's in this. Kristen Stewart, Kate Bosworth. Nominated for Best Actress. She's a huge favorite. A prohibitive favorite. We may talk more about this later as an Oscar lock. Oh, yes. Julianne Moore really is fantastic.
It's a serviceable movie.
The movie itself is a bit of a downer. It's a serviceable movie. It's a good movie. You certainly couldn't call it a bad movie. It's a slightly more cheerful version of Amore. She is fantastic. As good as she is, Julianne Moore. Kristen, you saw this, right?
Yeah, I flickfested a couple weeks ago.
Kristen Stewart is...
Just last week, I think.
Kristen Stewart is as bad
as
she is
good. It was the most terrifying movie I've seen. And I also said Kristen Stewart was great.
No, she was not.
She was fine. I liked her just fine. What's the problem?
I think, okay, so I think that maybe
what's your problem?
Child actors can get locked into bad habits early because they're cute or precocious or not as much as expected of them. And if they start doing bad habit things, acting, I think they are given a pass and they become hardwired.
Brian, don't just dismiss it.
Adult.
No, that's why people don't like you. That's why people think you're smug. It's very off-putting.
Really?
No one likes it. Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm being a friend here.
No. You're being a friend. She self-consciously... Okay. I don't know how to act.
You don't like playing with your hair?
I don't like to play with the hair.
That's just you because you don't have any and you're
constant
jealous.
The touching of the head.
Yeah, that's
every
what
time
it is.
She was trying to drudge up an emotion, she would touch her head like, Mom.
It's real, man.
No, it's not. It's not real. It's the opposite of real.
If you had hair, you'd probably be putting your hand through your hair as I told you to stop saying no. You probably would have.
The constant touching, the self-conscious. Now, I'll give her a slight pass because she was playing a struggling actress.
Right.
So maybe she was actually trying to play a bad actress. Unlikely.
Brian, come on.
Unlikely.
Lay off.
So Julianne Moore is going to win the Oscar, and I think it's a... I think it's writing a bit of a wrong because when she lost the Oscar to who's the one? Annette Bening, when they were both nominated for The Kids Are All Right. Mm-hmm. Julianne Moore was a star of that movie. She had the much tougher role, and Annette Bening won. I think it was a bit of a Annette Bening's Hollywood royalty. She'd been around longer, blah, 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 blah. Big injustice, and I think they'll fix that this year and give her the Oscar.
We do that next.
We'll talk about
that. We do that after we flick fast here. Would you?
Is there any more of us still, Alice?
I'm getting low. Mm-hmm. All right. I saw a film that is not up for any Oscars. Enough of the Oscar shit. I'm already tired.
Else.
I'm already tired
else.
Of the Oscars.
I have nothing else.
Oh, good. Well, then don't continue to talk.
I'm done.
One that's in theater. I mean, not in theaters. It's streaming on your old fuck flicks right there. You can watch it now. It's a foreign film. It's on a lot of critics. I'm doing my due diligence and ignoring a lot of the Oscar movies. Some of them, there's some overlap, but I'm making sure that I see all the movies that were the critics' top picks of the year. Mm. Making sure, because every now and again, there's some gold in there.
So you didn't see The Judge?
But no, I'm not. Not on the critics' list.
No, so. I have not either.
There is a movie called We Are the Best, which is on the critics' list. It's a Swedish film about young little girls who are punk rockers or who want to be punk rockers.
It's not an Oscar film, though.
Not an Oscar.
I don't recognize this title.
We Are the Best! Exclamation mark. So it's really, we are the best! I went to see this film in the theater, Brian, about 6 months ago, and got stuck in horrific traffic, made a judgment call because I was going to be late, and turned around.
Right.
And I've been disappointed ever since. Was thrilled to see that it's streaming on Fuckflix. It's been on top of my queue. Long story short, finally watched this thing. Hey, you can miss it. Coming of age. Problem is, there are two little girls. They're seventh graders.
Right.
And they're pretty miserable little brats.
Right.
White angst in the suburbs, don't like their parents much, but it's not really done with any style. It's all done with ultra-realism, which makes it uncomfortable. The one girl, I guess she could be cute, but she's more like just all bravado and like throwing herself. She's got a mohawk and she's throwing herself in a situation. She comes off more as like a toddler than an actual like teenage angst girl. I kind of lived this life a lot and I didn't see a whole lot of parallels. I felt that the movie was a little bit inauthentic, but it was done in an ultra-realistic fashion.
This is a fiction film. This is not a documentary, obviously. It's about Swedish punk rockers.
Yes. Okay. So it's a, where are my notes on this thing? An hour in and I can't stand much more except for Hat the Sport. They did write a song called Hate the Sport. Swedish. It's all in Swedish. And you can tell that they're saying Hate the Sport because there's just enough of a crossover there. Right. Hat the Sport. Hat the Sport. Not bad, but they don't know how to play instruments. Then they get this Christian bitch to come join the band, and she knows how to play guitar really good.
Why is it on so many critics' lists?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. They meet some boys, and the one girl kind of gets left out because there's only two boys, and then there's like some cattiness that goes on between them. I didn't see anything groundbreaking here. I didn't see anything truly authentic because I grew up in very similar circles with friends that were like this, but they weren't like this. Like these kids would not be, they would be made fun of quite a lot more than they actually were. I did not enjoy We Are the Best.
Okay.
We Are the Best!
It is not the best.
Was not the best. Not a terrible movie by any means, but it just, I could see like people who were curious as to like, you know the girls in school who have like short hair and wear glasses and they're kind of like do their own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see alt chicks
be kind of like interested in like, hey, what are the, how does that happen?
Hmm.
But you're not. I don't buy it. But maybe it's a Swedish culture thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Much like the hats in England.
Hat the sport. What I had in my head of what this movie could have been, or would have been, or should have been, or might have been. Not that. Not what I saw.
All right.
We are the best.
I saw a film. Foreign film.
Give it 10 minutes. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Everyone.
No, well, please. Not. Oh, it's streaming, so I guess there's no risk.
Give it 10 minutes.
I saw a foreign film. It is nominated for an Oscar.
Uh-oh.
Best foreign language film.
No.
Saw it earlier tonight.
What?
What? Why the luck?
Because I went to see a movie today.
Really?
Got to the fucking theater with like a minute to spare. Ran to the box office. Realized wallet at home.
No.
Yeah. Thought about sneaking in.
Was it Wild Tales?
No.
Oh. Have you seen Wild Tales?
No.
Wow. You know, you're going to like Wild Tales. I'm excited for you to see Wild Tales someday.
I thought you saw Leviathan. I couldn't imagine you seeing Leviathan, the 2 hour and 20 minute long Russian
Leviathan
drama.
Is the second best odds to win best foreign language film after Ida.
I'll be flick fessing Leviathan next week.
Maybe I should see it.
Fuck to the ass.
Where'd you see it?
I didn't, Brian. I got there in the...
The wallet. Yeah. Sorry. I thought we said a minute to spare.
I'll be seeing it tomorrow in Beverly Hills. Okay. Why am I telling you that?
Because I'll be there with you.
No.
Pal.
No.
Wild Tales is directed by, Damien Chiffron. No. Chiffron.
Doesn't
Chiffron.
Matter.
Fuck it. Whatever. Damien, nominated for Best Foreign Language Film. So this is billed as six...
Heard.
Have you heard of anything about this?
No.
Okay. This is billed as Six Tales of Revenge.
Mm.
It's very much a dark comedy. I don't want to give anything away. It's six short stories strung together as one feature-length film. It's 2 hours long.
Overlapping characters?
No, not that I could tell.
Three short stories.
Six.
Six short stories with no overlap.
Not that I could tell.
The guy just made shorts and he decided to like string them together and make a feature.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this.
I think this is a very Anderson movie. This is a dark comedy where there are uncomfortable laughs. So, okay, there are six very different little vignettes. Some
were they wild?
Some were wild, some were mild. No, some were wild. Some were played for very broad, dark laughs. Some were played for very uncomfortable, dark
enjoyable
laughs. So there's some Hitchcockian
French,
stuff in here. There's some very, no, Argentinian, I think. It's in Spanish.
The director's name sounded very French.
It's S-Z-I-F-R-O-N. Ziffron. Ziffron.
Oh, yeah.
Ziffron.
Oh, yeah.
Ziffron. I don't know how you pronounce that. So there's a story about...
He's from Buenos Aires.
I don't know what the fuck to tell you about this, other than there's a little bit of Twilight Zone, there's a little bit of Coen Brothers,
tell you
a little
what,
bit of Hitchcock.
I'll see it, and I'll come back, and I'll explain it next week. Obviously, you can't.
I can set the premise... Okay, I'll set the premises for these.
No, you can't do that. There's six. We don't have time. We don't have time for that.
I want to intrigue you in this movie.
You already have.
Believe. Okay, so here's the story number one. I won't give it away because it's so short. And it's the whole thing is just one. It's like not even a. It's a setup and a punchline. It's like 10 minutes long. The second one, it's about a guy walks into a diner and he's kind of an asshole. And the girl serving him freaks out and she goes back and tells the cook, she's like, that guy, he's a gangster. He's a gangster from like a local town. He caused my father to kill himself many years ago. and at the funeral, he hit on my mom. And the cook's like, we have to get revenge on him. Let's fucking poison his food.
Okay, leave it at that.
And the girl's torn up and whether she should do it or not. And it allows a lot of stuff that's played for laughs in there. And then number three is two drivers on a lonely desert highway. One guy tries to pass the other guy. The guy's being an asshole to him. And he flips him off and he says, yeah, you're a fucking redneck. Smash cut to later. He pulls over on the side of the road with a flat tire.
Ryan, stop it. You're flash cutting to later.
Flat tire and who pulls over? But the guy he flipped off.
You know, you remind me of my dad.
That's just the premise.
Where did you see this? It's not played anywhere.
It's I have a screener right here.
Oh.
Right here.
Perhaps,
Wild
Wild perhaps I'll lose
Wild
this
Tales.
Week.
Perhaps you will. I brought it in just in case.
Perhaps
but actually, I just saw a trailer for this before I saw Still Alice. So it's going to be in theaters soon so people can see it. It's going to be independent theaters.
All right, I look forward to
seeing it. Wild Tales is very good. Wild Tales deserves the best foreign language film nomination as far as I can tell.
Because you saw so many.
No, because of the ones I have seen. It's very, very good.
Seen?
This is better than Ida, and this is probably better than Tangerines, I would say. This is the best foreign language film I saw. Tangerines.
Forgot about that tangerine. All right, let's do the last one.
And very dark and very funny, and it's a very Anderson film. I think you'll like it a lot.
Yeah, you had me at Anderson film. Usually if like my name is in the title of the type of the adjective.
Wild Anderson Tales.
I think it's true to most people. Right. Most people, like, you know, if I said it's a very Brian film.
Yeah, so, like, Life of Brian.
No, Brian, you're missing what I'm saying.
What?
I'm using it as an adjective.
Okay.
Like Kingsman.
Right.
Very, very Brian film.
Okay. The Brian Kingsman.
I mean, I was imagining how much you would appreciate and love that movie.
I did love it.
Because what every spy film should be.
Right.
For me.
It was fun. It was a fun movie.
It was enjoyable. And I thought I was going to hate that kid.
All right, what's your final film?
And that kid fucking ruled.
He was great.
I liked him. I want to hang out with that kid.
Get his hat. I'm going to take his hat off and throw it in the river. Mm-hmm. River Thames.
I even liked all the little gadgets and whatnot. Usually that stuff bores the fuck out of me, but it was good. It was inventive. It was clever.
It was. They kept bringing it back, too. Like, no gadget just existed just to show off it was a gadget. Like, it was important to the plot.
Well, yeah. It's a very well-written script. As you can tell, with a lot of, like, a really well-tight, good script is really very few lines of dialogue for no purpose. I mean, pretty much everything that comes up in this movie, there's a payoff, which is a sign of a very well-written script.
Indeed.
Good movie. All right.
Third film.
You and I are going to share this because I assigned it to you last week.
No, I'm not, because you never sent me the link.
I did.
You didn't? Anderson.
Dude, I sent the fucking link. Oh, shit. Fuck me. You're kidding me.
No, I never got a link.
I did it that night. I sent it to you and like four other people.
No, I definitely did not get an email from you.
All right. Well, then I don't know what we're going to do here.
You better flip
fast. I'm not going to sit here and talk about it without you having seen it. Plus, you know what? I felt kind of guilty. God damn it. You know what you do?
What I do?
You know what I would have done, buddy?
What?
Hey, Brian, where's that movie? The show's coming up. I need to flick fast it because I was assigned it.
I don't think you would have, and I wouldn't have
expected you to. No, I absolutely would have.
If I absolutely fucked up like that, I would not expect you to.
I absolutely would have. The one time that I didn't was you assigned me a movie that wasn't playing in theaters anywhere, and there was no screeners or anything. So, I came in here, and I with glee, I told you, hey, you assigned me a movie that's not available.
I will see whatever you assign me if you actually let me see it.
If I knew you were going to be sending me something and it didn't show up, I absolutely would say, hey, dude, the show's tomorrow. Are you going to send that movie over?
I kept expecting it.
Oh, you dick.
What did I do?
Such a cheap shot.
So smug.
Not cool, dude. Very uncool.
Right, what do you want to talk about?
No, that's it. We're done.
What? Did I rob you of flickfession?
I was going to flickfess it with you. I'm not going to do it on my own. The whole
point. I didn't even know what it was called.
Cyberbully, Brian. Wait, not to be confused with some other horrible movie called Cyberbully for ABC Family. This is a British made-for-TV movie, but I did feel a little guilty in assigning it to you because I searched high and low just last night trying to figure out how people might be able to see this, and no one can, so it's kind of a waste anyways.
But so the audience is never going to be able to see it.
Well, they will eventually.
I mean, we cannot see it at the moment.
But you can't even like buy it or anything.
Hmm.
You could buy the wrong
one. Can we shelf this one till the audience can buy it?
Perhaps,
or
yeah.
View it?
Perhaps. Let's do that. I can send it to you again. I don't
know. No, you owe me a movie. Oh,
God
well,
damn, WeTransfer! WeTransfer let me down big. I wondered why not one person said, hey, thanks. I sent it to like four or five people.
Oh, really? Yeah, then none of us got it. I don't know who these other people are.
Friends of mine, Brian.
Coming up next.
God, that's disappointing. What else did I say?
Top five Oscar locks. They're all coming true.
Too many other pills in the drawer. Lost my head, now I'm dead. I think that I still feel the breath of leaving my nose.
Anderson, I hesitate to even tell you this exists because this might be my Christmas gift for you, but I'm compelled to tell you what someone bought on the Amazon.com click-through over on AndersonandBrian.com. Somebody got a Guardians of the Galaxy Dancing Groot action figure. The dancing Groot, the little the plant. You love Groot.
Cute.
Oh, you love Groot. All right, time to go through the other notable, interesting things people bought on the Amazon click-through banner. A Coexist bumper sticker was bought. What is this here? A Sony digital camera. Apple iPad 2 was also purchased. A HP laptop was purchased. Beats Solo headphones, the Beats headphones. Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest ground coffee beans, or so they claim, was purchased. Beard oil, you got to oil up that beard. I guess. Condoms, so many condoms. Durex Bare Real Feel, Durex Performax, Durex Extra Sensitive.
Wouldn't the coexist bumper sticker be a lot more poignant, like if it was a swastika going through the Star of David?
Wow, it really would actually, because
you know, that
like,
would be eye catch.
Hey, all you guys, get along. Right now, you're just talking about you know people who are
religious.
Yeah, we're
talking. They got like a little Star of David, a little cross, some kind of Muslim hieroglyphics.
Japanese yin yang.
Is that offensive that I call the hieroglyphics?
That's exactly
is it not?
Right. No, this is very
Arabic.
Different. Yeah. Well, actually,
hey,
Egypt,
from the same
Egypt
kinda,
is a Muslim country.
But yeah, I see that, and I just thought, you know what I want to do?
I'm sorry.
Rear end them. That's what I always want to do.
Ironic.
Goddamn purple bumper stickers.
An Ove glove was purchased. A drip coffee maker was purchased. A sewing and quilting machine someone bought. An Apple TV. Duraflame logs. I know you could buy Duraflame logs on Amazon. I thought they were somehow flammable. Samsung television, a Vizio television were both purchased, 51 and 42 inches respectively, a ViewSonic home theater projector, PlayStation 4, and the aforementioned Guardians of the Galaxy dancing group figure. Anderson, stop eating. Tell us what movies were purchased on Amazon. Come on. You're better than that. Show the listeners some respect.
I'm going to be a Kobayashi.
Drink my water.
Drink your water, but put down those hot dogs.
Kobayashi. All right. Here are the movies that were clicked through since last time I saw you!
John Wick.
The hammer was clicked through. It's interesting choice. Matrix clicked through them.
Yes, them. There Will Be Blood was clicked through.
Not
yes.
as good as No Country, but a good movie.
Boyhood. All 12 years clicked through. Bull Durham, Flash Gordon, Iron Man 3, Nightcrawler again, Pulp Fiction, South Pacific. What the fuck, South Pacific?
It's a famous musical.
I don't like it.
Roger and Hammerstein, I think.
The Great Dictator. Fantastic.
Oh, Chaplin.
A little Chapman movie. Chaplin, the interview is clicked through. The interview? Who's clicking through the interview? What are you guys doing? It's free on Funklix. Guys,
stream.
I appreciate you clicking through there, but you could watch that for free.
Maybe they purchased it. Maybe they loved it so much they had to purchase it.
Maybe. And then Thor was also clicked through. The Dark World. Thor. The Dark World. Thanks for clicking through, guys.
Thank you very much. And now back to the show. Hey, it's Usher. That's right, Usher Raymond. And you're listening to Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yes. Thanks to our feature artists this week, The Codas, Natalie Wells, Uranium Orchard, Kojak, The Shakers, The Melodies of Adam Stokes. Thanks to all you guys. And if you want to figure out who's who, AndersonandBryan.com. You can figure it out. All the whatchamacallums feature artists are listed there on the website. Thanks also to Joe Cherry for the listener art this week. Thematically, right, Logan? It's thematic to this this
specific
week's
for this episode.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Joe. If you want to send in listener art, we're always welcoming and appreciative. And AndersonandBryan.com is where you go to submit stuff. Anderson.
It's still stuck in my craw. The whole like, well, you never sent it, so I never viewed it.
Well, you
you're
never
finding
sent
that
it
out right now. You're finding that out right now. Send me a text. We live in the year in the future.
I'm too busy texting you lines from Locke.
Yeah, you could have easily said it's a big pour.
What do you think I meant when I said it's a big pour?
Well, Logan, why don't you weigh in here, bud? What are you doing in there? Homework? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that yet. I'm still pondering it.
Yeah, wow. I think
he's trying to buy for our affection, actually.
I think he's trying to buy time so he can figure out what the fuck we're talking about
because
he has no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I know we have very important homework to do. But for God's sake, we're having a very philosophical debate in here.
Cyberbully, all one word, 2015, guys. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. Its release date was January 15th, 2015,
day.
UK. The one that's directed by Ben Chanan.
Shannon.
Chanan. My buddy Rand, I don't know where he got it, but he sent me a link and I watched it and I was blown away. So was the wife. And I was excited to talk about it.
I'm excited to see it.
You're real excited.
I'm not excited to track it down, to back
here's,
you. To send
here's
it.
How it is tracking it down. Please send.
You're right.
P.S. It's a big pour.
P.S. Big pour.
P.S. She is distressed.
I'm glad that I bring you joy.
All right, let's do this.
Oscar locks.
Let's do the Oscar locks.
Mine will include odds because they're impossible to avoid.
All right.
What's your number five?
No, you go ahead.
Me first?
Yeah.
Number five. I guarantee If you're, you'll have to give up some serious odds for this, but best production design will go to the Grand Budapest Hotel. That's kind of all the movie has going for it. And
It's not true.
It's actually, you're right. It's not kind of. It's very much the only thing the movie has going for it.
Nope.
And if I had to be fair to a movie I didn't like that much.
I haven't told you.
What?
I've come around.
No.
I've seen it twice since.
Why?
Since I should have flicked past that again. It's just, it is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, stop it.
No, the critics
fuck
are right.
Out of here.
Critics are right.
All right, we're done talking about
all
this.
The hipsters are right. And I'm right there with them.
And you're on board?
I didn't get the jokes the first time. They went over my head.
Oh, really?
I think that's probably your problem, too.
Oh, okay. So I should see it with an open mind.
Well, what I did was I went out and I got a better education, and then I went back and saw the movie again.
Should I go see it with someone who understands that stuff better?
So you should bring a dictionary, an Oxford dictionary.
Oh,
and
thesaurus?
Somebody who's very highbrow, yeah, okay. So they can whisper in your ear.
Okay. Well, you know what, then? I back off my claim that it's the only thing that's going for it, but... Best production design will go to Grand Budapest Hotel. The other nominees are Into the Woods, Mr. Turner, Interstellar, and The Imitation Game. All fine choices, I'm sure. But the Grand Budapest Hotel, the best thing about the movie by far, even if you're a fan of the movie, you have to admit the best thing about it is the production design, which I must admit is very, very good. I didn't like the movie very much, but the production design was pretty fantastic.
It was.
And it wasn't like, all like he built sets for it, and it's all like scale
always,
models and sets. And
they always are. He does a fantastic job with the mise-en-scene.
Detail.
Mise-en-scene. Yeah. He's fantastic. He's one of the best, if not the best, at really creating that two-dimensional space, the best, most creative, compact way you possibly can. The Life Aquatic, that's a fantastic scene with the all the layers
going through the submarine.
And the sub.
So best production design, I guarantee, will go to Grand Budapest Hotel. -700 are the odds.
Well, Brian, I think that's a very a sound choice. Mm. However, you said it's the only thing that's going for it. Mm. The only thing that stands out.
Oh,
I say you're wrong.
You're saying costume design?
I'm saying costume design. Number five for me. Grand Budapest Hotel. It's the Academy. They're nuts. They're crazy. The very left, the very on the curve, ahead of the curve, but they're not so crazy that they're going to give this movie anything beyond, I think, production design, like Brian just said, and the costume design. Costume design slaps you in the face. It's one of the first things you think of or notice when you see anything about this movie, and it's up against Inherent Vice, where.
Mr. Turner.
Into the Woods, Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner could give it a run for its money, but costume design. Right. I don't even know who the costume
Maleficent
designer is.
Maleficent is the other nominee. You know what? This is a good choice by you because it actually has greater odds than it does for production design. -1,000 if you want to try and win some money on best costume.
Yeah, so please fill me in on the odds. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll tell
any
you.
Of them.
So it's -1,000, which means if you put down 100 to win $100.
No, I don't need Brian.
Well, I'm explaining to
the smugliness.
No. I'm explaining to the listeners who probably, I would imagine, 15% of people understand how that works.
I'm explaining what I was at requesting is that you let me know, like if you know, like just now, like you knew the odds for the costume. I didn't need you to give me a math lesson there.
Well, it's not math. It's just explaining how it works. Well, like a lot of people, I imagine, don't know or don't care what -1,000 means.
Well, I'm a degenerate. I know how the odds work.
If you want to win $100, you need to put down $1,000. Okay. The odds are not in your favor because it is such a favorite
it's
to win.
It's the same as 100 to 1.
Yeah, it is. No, 1 to 100, actually. 100 to 1 would mean you win $100 for your one.
1 to 100, yes. The inverse of that. I should give the name of the person who made that purple suit. Milena Cananaro. Milena Cananaro.
That reminds me of my favorite thing from Big Hero 6 when he couldn't do the fist bumping sound. He would go, ba la 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 la. I like that. That's good stuff. That made me laugh every time.
Go ahead, Brian. What's your number 4?
Number 4. I guarantee. Now, this is actually an interesting year because you're talking about how the parity, and there is a lot of parity, there is a lot of closeness in these races, a lot of competitiveness. However, Vegas does not believe there is any competitiveness in the Best Supporting Actor category. I guarantee J.K. Simmons takes home the award for Best Supporting Actor. He is a -5,000 favorite over Edward Norton, who is +1,200 at the next best odds. Mark Ruffalo is a long shot at +1,600. Ethan Hawke is +3,300 for the role of a lifetime. Robert Duvall is also +3,300. -5,000.
I'm surprised by that. One of my locks was going to be, but it's not, Best Supporting Actor, J.K. Simmons or Ed Norton. One of those two guys is going to win for sure. However, I did read that J.K. Simmons has won every single other award, like the SAGs and the other, what's that one?
The PGA or the Directors Guild? Or
no, the one that people BAFTA? Watch. No, that's the
Golden
British.
Globe?
Golden Globe.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ed Norton, it's shocking, but this is his third nomination. The man has not won.
He's one of the all-time, one of the greatest.
Any other year, like he'd be the lock. Yeah. He'd be the lock for this, but...
This is the role of a lifetime for J.K. Simmons, and he hit it as out of the park as can be hit.
I think that Ed Norton was actually just as impressive, to a smaller, a lesser degree because he had less screen time, but mm-hmm. that one scene, and I said it when I first saw yes. Birdman, that scene when he goes in there to let Michael Keaton know, you know, Regan mm-hmm. know that he wants the role, yep. and that he's popping in and out of acting and acting and yep. he's acting as actor. Oh my, it's just,
you're right. Like it is any other year.
That's some of the best acting I've ever seen ever.
Yeah. He's great.
In and that scene.
This is any other year type of you know, situation for him.
Unfortunately, he became a very unlikable character soon after that, but.
In the movie.
Yeah. He took it down. Yeah. I need to see that movie again. I've only seen it the once.
I would see it again.
Right,
I'm not excited to see it again.
Number four for me.
All
right, this is strong, and it's a pretty. If you're doing the ballots,
any bold choices for you? Any bold choices?
Towards the end, Brian. That's why we do 5-1.
Okay.
This is four for me. Right. Best actress, best supporting actress, I should say. Best supporting actress, Patricia Arquette.
Patricia Arquette.
Yes. What are the others? I can't even remember. I should have had my list, but I don't have my list.
Best supporting Emma Stone is nominated. So is
Laura Dern in Wild.
Laura Dern,
who just plays like a drug addict. Did you see Wild? You didn't see Wild.
Well, I flicked past it, I think, didn't I?
She plays like a drug addict, not a drug addict mom. She plays like
she's sick.
An emotional mother. Yes, a sick mother. Keira Knightley in The Imitation Game. Yeah, she was good, but she was just doing Hollywood as well. Birdman, Emma Stone in Birdman. She was exceptional. Namely because of that one speech that
right.
she gave,
yep.
which was a very timely speech, a very well-written speech, okay. and a very well-acted speech.
It was.
Without that speech, she doesn't get a nomination.
No
it's
way.
One of those speeches where you're watching the movie and you're like, oh, she's going to get a nomination
out.
For this. However, Meryl Streep, Into the Woods, doing that.
Doing the Meryl Streep thing.
Fucking A. No, it wasn't a Meryl Streep thing. It was a different thing.
Oh, really?
Didn't like it.
I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Fucking, you don't make a movie out of five acts. Actually, you know what? I'm all for experimentation.
What about Wild Tales?
I'm all for experimentation okay. and trying new things. But the third act ends. You're like, sure. oh, that was a cute little movie. Thank God it's not more than an hour and 15. And Into the Woods, I'm talking about.
I feel like we have
It's like, oh, we got two more line. Acts. but yeah, Patricia Arquette, you get to see her. It's Boyhood. I mean, like I said before, it's very rare that you watch a movie and you're like, wow.
It's the role of a lifetime.
That's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And she does it
She's
all
a
the
big
way
reason
through.
Why.
And when you look at what she's up against, I just don't see why Patricia Arquette. I just don't see a world where she doesn't win. So if you're in an office pool or something, that's a safe.
That's where you put your pile of money.
And what are the odds on that?
I might get to that later.
Settle down.
Number three for me. We have a lot of crossover.
So if it's 5,000 to 1, how much money do I have to put down to win a dollar?
It's 1 to 5,000. You mean if they're the favorite?
I'm joking, Brian.
Oh,
I'm fucking with you.
You have to put down.
So I just got very angry with you moments ago.
500. $500 to win $1. It's not a good bet. I wouldn't make that bet.
I said 5,000 to 1, so you'd be wrong.
No, 5,000 to 1 is based off a $100 bet. See, this is why I explain to people, because you don't know anything.
But I'm talking to Brian!
You asked how to...
I'm not talking about a minimum of a $100 bet. That wasn't a given in my scenario.
The number, the plus 5,000, is based off of a $100 bet. So if you wanted to win
I know, but
$8,
I was saying 5,000 to 1.
Like, well, you know what? I was wrong.
Yes.
It's 50 to win $8. I was wrong. I'm sorry, everyone.
Here we go.
I did math wrong. We do that a lot here.
What's your number three?
Number three for me.
Mm-hmm. You sure it's not number two?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Number three. I guarantee mm-hmm. best actress. It's going to Julianne Moore.
That's pretty high.
It's going to Julianne
low. Moore. I would think that would be higher in your
list. I have two more that I feel strongly about.
Are they actual categories?
Maybe.
Or are they?
Maybe.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Possibly. Maybe. Unlikely.
Yeah, Julianne Moore. I mean,
Julianne Moore and Still Alice. This is lock it down. She's taking that award home. For the reasons I mentioned earlier, she's great. She's the whole movie. And Hollywood will be writing a wrong because she deserved that
already,
Oscar.
I feel like we've already done
like
this segment.
I feel like it come up before.
Yeah.
She deserved that Oscar for The Kids Are All Right. I'm still upset about that. Hers was the character with the
five arc. Times, this woman. Nominated 5 times. She was nominated way back in 97 for Boogie Nights. She was nominated in The End of the Affair, which was, for a while there, the end of my love affair with Marty Scorsese.
I never saw it.
No, I mean Neil Jordan. Hmm. Marty Scorsese.
Okay, that was the Age of Innocence.
That was the Age of Innocence. Yes, very similar movies. The Hour, she was nominated for that. Hmm. She lost out. Same year, Far From Heaven, she was nominated double, Brian.
Oh.
Best Actress in a Leading Role and Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Far From Heaven, and The Hours in 2003. And then this year, Still Alice. Yeah, this is going to be also like a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Maybe. You know? Yeah. I see it. But yeah, I mean, it's a great role. She's great in it. Let me ask you this. Julianne Moore, hot or not?
She can be very beautiful, yes. But true. She can also be very...
She's a phaser.
Yeah, she can. She's a chameleon.
Yeah.
I mean, she is so...
This movie alone, the scene where she... The scene where you see her before and after, that's all I'll say about it, towards the end, is striking. She's like, well, that's a beautiful woman who's ugly.
That's another reason why she's, you know, even if she was up against even stiffer competition, I think Reese Witherspoon...
Oh, the other nominees. Thank you, Anderson. She's minus 5,000, which is up there, which is equal. That's as high as it gets online gambling. Reese Witherspoon is plus 1,200. And Reese Witherspoon was great. This is another end of the year situation.
And she deserves an Oscar. I thought she should have been up for Pick Flick back with Election. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore, but I would have liked to have seen her. And that was when she was just, you know, like a little teen actress. And
she was great in Wild.
It's great to see that she's still, you know, giving Oscar caliber performances, because I love that Reese Witherspoon.
Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl.
Which is funny, because I thought she was questionable at best, especially in the beginning.
I was surprised to see the odds this
high.
But
I've heard I've heard and read some stuff about Rosamund Pike and how actually what she was doing was kind of genius, because, you know, once you learn more about the movie without giving anything away about Gone Girl, but like it makes more sense why she was so plastic in the beginning.
Okay.
But it felt like she was just reciting memorized lines.
I think she's happy to be there in terms of the... it's an honor just to be nominated, as they say.
Felicity Jones, who swept me off my feet. I loved her.
She was great. And surprised to see her as the leading actress, as best actress category, because it definitely felt like the Stephen Hawking story.
But it was told through her point of view.
You're right. It was told through
her point of view. Theory of everything.
Plus 4,000 for her, plus 5,000 for Marion Cotillard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marion Cotillard. They always have to have like a cultural relevant pick in there.
Should I see that movie?
Nah.
Okay.
It's interesting premise, but we're talking about 2 days, one night,
right,
where it was like she's trying to figure out if she can sway a bunch of her coworkers to vote her back into working, because they voted already to have her be fired so they could get bonuses. It was a great premise. Yep. I like that premise.
Number three for you.
Let me continue with Julianne Moore for 1 minute.
No, we're done.
If you weren't sold on her being best actress, see Still Alice, and then
she's performers.
Brian,
fantastic.
I'm going somewhere. You're like pebbles on a railroad, little small pebbles,
insignificant.
Yeah, but they're enough to like kind of sway.
Okay, there's a sway rough ride, the, rough sway ride. To spill your drink.
Here we go. What I was trying
see
to say,
Still Alice.
See Still
it's
Alice.
Really tremendous. Oh, sorry.
And then go see. Oh, Christ, I'm going to forget the name of that. Maps to the Stars.
Oh, yeah, you like that movie.
Which is the David Cronenberg film, which I think is coming out maybe this weekend, if not this weekend, next weekend, where she plays a drastically, wildly different character, completely different person. Kind of like with Sean Penn. Like, you're not sure he's a great actor? Watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
right,
and then go watch Carlito's Way. Mm-hmm. It's like, how is that the same fucker?
Yeah.
You know, she's such a different character. She plays a struggling, insecure, drugged up actress in Maps to the Stars, and she's just as convincing in that role as she is with the old forget-me-nots. Yeah,
it's one way to put it. Number three for you.
Number three for me. Little left turn here, but I believe in this one. Best sound mixing.
Really?
Whiplash.
Okay. I wish I knew the. I should look up the odds on this.
Oh Christ! Here we go. No, actually, I want you to.
I want to know if this is this is a bold selection.
I think I've done this before, the sound editing, sound mixing. Okay. Once a year, I like to give the little dissertation on the difference between sound editing and sound mixing. I know it's confusing for a lot of people, myself included, until I figured it out a few years ago, because it's not I don't like the title sound editing,
right?
Which makes you think, oh, so they're taking this like you know what people do like on GarageBand or
yeah.
That's not what it is. Sound editing is actually includes Foley art and creating sounds and making the actual soundscape that you hear. Whereas sound mixing is taking all those sounds and putting them together with different levels.
Okay.
So sound editing is actually adding sound. Sound mixing is just what it sounds like. But what it's going up against sound mixing wise, American Sniper, which was very well done sound wise, even though I saw it in my house, but I got the 5.1 going there. Birdman,
humble brag,
which is everyone got the 5.1, right?
I'm messing with you.
Plus, I have my
messing around.
Plus, I have my center speaker is plugged into the left, and my subwoofer is plugged into the left.
Just keep you on your toes.
Left rear speaker. So nothing's really quite appropriate over there. It's on its last leg.
Oh, I can't get odds for best sound mixing.
Interstellar, which yes had great sound mixing, and Unbroken, but Whiplash, to me, with the music and how it interacted with.
Damn it.
Everything else,
all right.
And I've seen it twice now, and I was taken aback by many things in Whiplash. J.K. Simmons, obviously.
Right.
The story, obviously. Teller, fantastic. Oh, no, Teller.
What?
Miles Teller.
Oh, no, Fantastic
the new Fantastic Four.
Not a good trailer.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where I feel bad because he's giving it his all, but it's like, dude, it's Fantastic Four. What are you doing? But, yeah,
Hope
Whiplash.
The check clears.
Whiplash, and now I'm gonna feel like an ass if this doesn't win. After
I appreciate your bold selection.
I think it's a pretty good one.
Coming up next,
sound mixing. Sound mixing was so important to that movie as well.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's such a great movie.
Sound mixing is important to a lot of movies, but this one in particular.
Something tells me. Oh, yeah. Something tells me Whiplash will be mentioned, waxed, opined upon next week at length. And until then. Coming up next, the top two, Oscar Lux. Some of the madness shown. My antidote when I'm sick of the whole grind. This list and the dope rhymes to grow when I scope mine. A flow so live, you'll find zombies in line trying to siphon some life when I rock mics. If you're not
True Car, Brian.
True Car.
Everyone's talking about True Car.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay, which everybody has when you walk into a lot.
It's the worst. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of, get this, $3,221 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps.
First,
you got to download that True Car mobile app.
Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com, that's where you go.
Or you can go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car that you want. Then you register to set up front pricing information and lock in those savings.
Third step, simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never overpay.
To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com. Today.
Did you ever wonder what happened to Pauly Shore?
Yes!
Well, now he's doing something called the Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
Try and experience when I'm about to chirp in your lobes, okay, cool?
It's a podcast that's the Pauly Shore Show. So the name is the Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
And this is where I sit once in a while just to sit.
The Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
Man, this is where it goes down!
Download a new episode every week right here at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Welcome back. Thanks for downloading, everyone listening. We appreciate it. And, thanks to all our feature artists, all the people who provide fan art. We appreciate it. Check it out, AndersonAndBryan.com. Anderson. Mm-hmm. Number two for me, Oscar Locke. Lock it down. Take it to the bank. I guarantee, as always, someone will be snubbed from the in memoriam section. What? It happens every year. I'm guaranteeing it right now.
Brian, you got to pick somebody.
Okay, well, here's the most likely candidates then.
Mm.
Here are the most likely candidates.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
Joan Rivers.
She's not going to get snubbed.
Bob Hoskins. Mm. James Rebhorn. Great character actor. Love James Rebhorn. Very sad he's dead.
Wait, Bob died?
Bob Hoskins died.
When was this?
Bob Hoskins died last year.
Logan, you got to let me know this shit. Got to keep me up to date on dead celebrity. I didn't know he died. I loved him.
Harold Ramis, although I feel like Harold Ramis is definitely going to be in the thing. But if he didn't, it would be a huge snub. Eli Wallach from The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Richard Kiel, Jaws from James Bond movies.
He'll be in there.
And you know who's probably going to be
snubbed? I didn't know he died.
Elizabeth
Pena. He's the guy with the nail in the head in Happy Gilmore. Yeah.
Elizabeth Pena died under...
Elizabeth
Pena died under not so wonderful circumstances. She was kind of an alcoholic and she had a very... Kind of. She was a very severe addict and had a very sad last chapter to her life. And I can see this being a very sad insult injury, leaving her off the list.
Who is this person?
Elizabeth Pena was in Lone Star with McConaughey, and she was in not with McConaughey. She was Chris Cooper. She was Chris Cooper's lover. She's been a character actor. She's a ton of movies. Right. But she's going to be one of these. One or more will be snubbed.
What was the biggest snub in the history of the posthumously?
Great question. I remember when my best call was when Ryan Dunn got left off a couple years ago.
Yeah, because he was in all those very serious.
He was in all the Jackass movies, and they made billions of dollars.
Who's the name of the person? Elizabeth who?
Pena.
Pena.
Elizabeth Pena.
It'd help if I knew how to spell Elizabeth, probably.
It might.
Oh, there she is. Oh, yeah, her.
You recognize?
Oh, she died? I didn't know that.
Yeah, very very sad ending to her life.
She doesn't seem like a drinker. She seems like somebody who would yell at me for drinking.
I think she's a severe alcohol problem.
That's sad.
I think.
Stanley Kubrick was...
What would you know her best from?
Kubrick, Brian.
Oh, they left him off?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's impossible.
Transamerica, Rush Hour, Jacob's Ladder. Talking about Elizabeth Pena.
Mm-hmm. And Lone Star.
Who's still alive. Brian's completely... Okay. All right.
Don't do that. Number two for you.
Number two for me. Oscar, we've already waxed poetic. We've already gone down this road, but talking Julianne Moore, still Alice. I just can't, you know. If I cared enough about this category, which I don't, but if I did, this would be one where if they gave it to the wrong person, if she didn't get it, I would angrily throw something at my TV, turn it off, and walk out of the room.
Would this be a situation where he ran out in the street and yells, "The gays have won"?
I did that when Milk won. When it beat There Will Be Blood, I forgot about it. I did do that, huh?
You did?
Yeah. It was I love the gays. Hey, I got a bunch of friends that are gay.
No, it was a celebratory yeah.
No, it was not. I was furious.
It was like Viva Mexico.
There Will Be Blood. I wanted that to win very badly, and Harvey fucking Milk won instead, and I screamed, "The gays have won." My wedding, which you were at.
You also yelled, "The gays have won."
Well, they had. They won my wedding. There was more gays there than straights.
Right.
I had more gays than straights.
Mm-hmm.
But no black people. God damn it, I want to get remarried again.
Sweet. High five.
Brian, stop. Sorry. That was not me high-fiving. That was Brian.
Funny every time.
All right, here you go. So that's my number two.
Okay. Number one for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're already at your number one.
We're already at number one. You know what? It's anticlimactic. We did touch on it earlier. Patricia Arquette for Boyhood.
Oh,
and
really?
Not even just because of the performance.
I thought
we
were going to have
great.
Cutesy ones. I thought we were going to have some cute.
My cutesy one was the In Memoriam scene.
Oh, that's real cute, Brian. Dead people. Mm-hmm. Soup's cute.
Toad's cute?
Soups, Brian. I didn't say totes. I don't say totes.
Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, not just because it's the role of a lifetime, not just because she was better in this than she's been in anything that I've ever seen.
Nah, she's great in a lot of things. What are you talking about? I watch Medium.
I'm not saying she wasn't
every
great.
Week with my
I'm
mom.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I'm saying she's better in this.
No, she's great. She was the best in as Bama. I mean, Alabama and True Romance. I mean,
yeah, but she was playing kind greatest. Of dits. And,
yeah. It's not like Oscar material, but she was fucking...
I'm not saying she hasn't been good before, or even great.
Fabulous.
But the field, I mean, aside from Emma Stone at plus 14, probably minus 5,000 again for Patricia Arquette. There are some big, heavy favorites this year for acting awards. Emma Stone, plus 1,400. After that, you're right, Keira Knightley, Laura Dern, who's just kind of happy to be there, like probably surprised to be nominated. Meryl Streep, I just can't see. I can't construct a scenario in my mind where anyone other than Patricia Arquette wins this. Possibly Emma Stone, but even she's in four scenes. I mean, I just can't envision a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So, Patricia Arquette is my number one lock this year. Lock it out, which means it's not going to happen.
It's not true. Yeah. I think you're right here. I think you're right with this one.
I'll go for five for five this year, maybe.
I may have regrets for my number one, Brian. Why? I was trying to counter you.
Why? Be cutesy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Neil Patrick Harris is going to the gays of one?
I do have gay written down.
Oh, no.
On my paper here. What's on that? My papes. I have it written down.
Totes right, on your
my
papes.
Number one. What? My number one, and I think this could be perhaps like even as far as like the odds,
okay.
Of it,
may happen, may not happen.
Even money? Okay.
I think Lego Movie gets some airtime.
How so?
I think it'll be in some kind of joke.
Oh, okay.
I think Lego Movie is going to get some kind of recognition from the host, Neil Patrick Harris.
And you're not talking about if they play the song, Everything is Awesome.
No, because that's...
nominated.
I'm talking about airtime as best animated feature.
Like I there could be a Lego version of Neil Patrick Harris running around Lego Town?
I don't think they're going to go that insane with it, no. But I think like...
I'm saying that sometimes they put the host in a scene from the movie, like Bill Kristol. That was my other greatest call of all time. Billy Crystal eating shit pie. They put him in the movie.
I don't think it happened.
What's going to happen?
I think that did not happen. You said there was going to be we're talking years ago.
There's going to be a terrible, awful joke, and it happened within the first 2 minutes of the broadcast. That's my finest moment.
No recollect.
In life.
But I think Lego Movie, I think there will be a gay marriage joke as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You have gay written down.
I wrote down gay. Gay marriage joke will be told.
Gay marriage joke will be told.
But I think Lego Movie, and perhaps it'll be like some kind of song form where he's singing, about like the this year's Oscars and
snubs.
I can see how he does something real cutesy and something that rhymes with Lego Movie not getting a nomination.
Okay, I think you're more likely to get a Lego Movie reference than you are to get a gay marriage reference. But both could happen. I could see.
I'm gonna win so much money if both happen.
I hope you have.
Here's some other ones that I did not put in my top five, even though I'm fairly confident from what I've read and what I know. But I didn't want to put down Best Doc, Citizen 4, because first, A, you didn't like it, and B, I've not seen all the other documentaries that are up. I've only seen three of the five.
That was also ran for me was Citizen 4.
It's been winning everything, and if you need a strong pick, that's a good one.
It's politically in line with what the Oscars would like to see. Yeah,
and
it's
you know timely. What? I think that a lot of the time the Oscars really respond to documentaries that are like current event documentaries.
Yes, and as I mentioned, the access that they have almost trumps the content of the film. It's remarkable. It's documenting a point in time.
Had we done this here ep a month ago, I would have definitely had Michael Keaton as Best Actor, but Eddie Redmayne is making a charge. However, now that Jupiter Ascending has come out... Mm-hmm. I guess they've already sent their votes off, huh?
Probably.
But if the Academy had a chance to check Jupiter Ascending out, I think they might rethink bestowing that man a gold statue.
Now, if you feel strongly about this, Anderson, Michael Keaton opened when the odds first came out. He opened up as the favorite, and it's gone the other way. Eddie Redmayne is now the favorite, and you can get pretty good odds on Michael Keaton. If you feel good about it, he's like -300.
Don't they want to give it to Michael Keaton? You know what I mean? It's definitely a popularity game.
I agree. He has as good a... It should be a coin flip in my mind. The fact that Eddie Redmayne is the favorite.
He was great.
Eddie
was fantastic. Finally, cinematography.
For Interstellar?
No. Oh. I think that Emmanuel Lubezki will win it for the second straight year for his work on the old Birdman over there.
Yeah.
I just listened to an interview with him, and he's an insane person. I mean, everyone has to be a little insane.
I really should, I should have brought in my, fuck, I should have brought in my,
I listened to him and Inarritu interviewed on by Elvis Mitchell on The Treatment. It's a great podcast, guys. I don't like to plug other podcasts very often, but they're short. He interviews Hollywood types. It's a lot of ass kissing, but Elvis Mitchell's one of the smartest men walking the earth. It's amazing how he knows every single thing that anyone has ever done and every book they've ever written. He is. But whenever I don't, unfortunately, this was done in front of a live studio audience, and I don't like his personality when it's in front of a live studio audience. He does this thing where he'll say something that he thinks is funny, and then follow it up every single time with a
Yeah, no,
God, I hate it.
I
punch my fucking dashboard, Brian, very hard when he does that. I'm like, don't do it this time, Elvis. And it was something stupid and innocuous too. Well, that's because you guys are from Mexico.
Yeah. I specifically mentioned that a while ago when I was listening to a podcast I hated, but I had to. The host would, every joke they made, and it wasn't the audience.
Yeah,
every,
it's Sniff. It wasn't Sniff. It's that fucking Ball Brian guy.
How dare you?
That's good stuff. That'll genuinely
hurt
you.
That's good stuff, though. I like that.
You did not like that.
That's good stuff. No, the guys who would make the jokes would follow everything up with like, and that's what you get for hiring a woman. Everything was Every punchline was punctuated with Why is the period at the end of your joke?
I do the upside down I go, All right. Rest in peace, Elizabeth Pena. Rest in peace this episode. Last year... We had something riding, right, on the Oscars.
We did. I don't know if the betting.
We got to have something riding, Brian.
Do you want to do the bets top to bottom? Best score.
What?
The best score, whoever gets the most.
Oh, I thought you meant the best score. Like, oh, no, be the no, only
it's
thing.
All, it's all or nothing on best score. That would be great.
Yeah, but what's the payoff? What's the payoff, Logie? What do you think?
Do we do that in place of gambling this week?
Well, we could.
That means
Logan, is there anything coming out this Logan week? Anything interesting? Work. I mean,
yeah, it's not work. Nothing very interesting.
Logan, it's less work for you.
No, I think it would be excusable. It's nothing very interesting coming out this week.
Okay, in place
if you want to know, it was going to be Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Oh, Steve Pink, my boy. Yes, hey, Steve Pink on the program. It's Steve Pink.
I don't know who that is.
He's the director of Hot Tub.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about an actor. I didn't know who that was. Anderson. I would be willing to do in place of the...
It feels kind of low stakes, though. I want something bigger.
Oh, okay, because it's the Oscars.
What was it last year? Do you remember, Logs? What did we do?
I'd have to go back and listen.
Oh, we're not going to do that.
Okay, well, we'll wait. Found it yet? All right. God damn it.
Well,
cash.
Cash.
Cash. Actually, no, I don't like you with your nose all up in Vegas' fucking pit boss's butt. You're all like up there going, what are you doing there, odds maker? Huh? What's all the odds are? Constantly on the websites? No. I don't like this. All right. Yeah, it's fine. We're in lieu of.
In lieu of the movie gambling?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just assign you Cyberbully 2.
Episode 2? No, look, we have to gamble. We have to actually pay it off.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Come on, buddy.
All right. Last week, you guys gambled on, what was it, Kingsman?
Yeah.
Secret Service.
Anderson, never been so glad to be so wrong.
I was so pleased to be so fucking wrong. It's not my fault. The trailer.
Hey,
Logan, let this be a lesson to you.
What?
Don't judge a film by its trailer.
I knew it was going to be good.
How'd you know that? Because it's a spy movie.
Well, let's fucking score.
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 80%. Anderson bid 37, Brian 74. Currently, the week after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Kingsman is 73%.
I was off by 1%.
Yes, Brian, you're also always on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, my God. That's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. Anderson, you're in luck. You are going to see Wild Tales. You're going to love it. Woo!
Give me the other one. What's the other one?
Tangerines.
Yeah, can I have it?
Do you want it?
Yeah. Huh? I want to watch everything.
But I need them back, though, because they're not mine.
Whose are they?
They're my Italian buddy.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
He's in academia.
He's up to illegal shenanigans, eh?
He's letting his friend borrow movies.
Uh-huh. Illegally.
All right, so we're going to submit our picks to Logan?
Yeah, we better do that.
We can do it before Sunday.
Just take a picture, yes. And I need to have yours, though. Last year, I remember you fucked me, and I didn't get to have yours like beside mine, so I had no idea.
Follow along.
Yeah.
Isn't it better if we don't, though?
No, not at all. Hmm. That's like, isn't it better to like bet on a team and you have no idea which team it is? You just watch the game? No.
Yeah, but we never know who's going to win until we come in here, usually.
I want to follow along.
Okay. All right. I'll send you my picks.
Okay. Picture. Phone.
Oh, phone pick.
Use your smartphone. Take a picture there.
Smartphone.
All right, do your accruements. Accruments.
I don't know that it's a word.
It's not.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks to Joe Cherry again for the fan art. Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. That's where you go to comment on the episodes. We appreciate all the feedback, especially if it's good.
Accruments. What is it?
Accoutrements. It's not really the right word.
No, it's not at all. It's usually to do with food and like extra stuff and this and that, but do it.
Okay, I'll do my accoutrement for American culture. Sniff Tracks is on our webpage there. So is feature artist information. List of all films discussed. I just had someone tweet me today. When did you talk about Whiplash? When did you talk about whatever? It's like, hey, check it out. It's under honorable mentions. You can find out all the episodes where we talk about a particular film. Facebook.com/TheFilmVault. Twitter @TheFilmVault. AndersonCowan.com if you want to torture yourself. TheAfterDisaster.com.
Very rude.
Sorry.
That was very rude.
That was me. AfterDisaster.com. SaveItForAir.com. Do we still have to do that?
Very rude as well.
Rude. Seriously, when are the next Save For Air coming out?
We're a little behind, but it's coming soon.
A little behind. All right. Anything else?
Wait up, Van Gogh.